Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, September the 4th, 2010. Colonel Speed Wilson is the speaker of the evening teaching on Understanding Current Events. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
We never will, because we're having to use up National Guard and reserves and all of those, and some of them making 3 and 4 tours over there and all of that. No wonder they got suicides and the breaking point, and now it's going to get even worse with this rules of engagement that we had to put up with over in Vietnam. If you were here the first night, when I was second in command, actually, was in command of 20,000 Marines, and I had to brief all the commanding officers in the outfit on the rules of engagement, which meant we could only return fire. That meant you had to let the enemy shoot first. And the sergeant major, old zebra sleeve, Sergeant Major Ryan, I'd known him in Korea when he was a 3-striper, and I was a captain. And he says, "Colonel, we know this is your third war, and it's my second war, and my experience has been if you let the enemy shoot first and he hits you between the eyes, it tends to blur your vision." And I said, "Well, thank you, Sergeant Major. That's a good summation of the rules of engagement." General Willie K. Jones, who was in the commanding general of the 3rd Marine Division up against the Demilitarized Zone. That's a joke. The DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone, and the Communists had 40,000 troops in the DMZ. But we weren't allowed. So General Jones jumped out of his tent one morning and took a big stretch and got a bullet right through his hand out of the DMZ. Well, he got a Purple Heart, so... And if you think you're going to get the news from the media, you might as well think again. Let me read you. This is just, of course, we knew this in the past. And during the Korean War, we would take U.S. News, World Report, Time Magazine, and Newsweek, and by the dateline of a report of what happened, we would know what happened. And in Newsweek, you'd never recognize it. In Time, maybe. But U.S. News and World Report was usually pretty accurate. But the New York Times and the Washington Post and the L.A. Examiner and all of those, you'd never recognize what was happening. And it was much worse in Vietnam. It was just horrible. While I'm on that, let me tell you an experience I had. After we disbanded the amphibious forces and I went ashore, I got off the aircraft carrier and went ashore, and I was put in charge, I relieved the Brigadier General, General Spaniger, and I was in charge of the Direct Air Support Center, which was back up in the mountains about 30 miles from Da Nang, back up in the mountains. And my headquarters was back in a mountain. I was safer there than I was in Washington, D.C., because I didn't have to drive to work. But so I had a big control there. It was 20 feet wide and 8 feet tall, a board, and a guy behind it writing backwards, and we knew everything was going on. I had my responsibility was to see to it that I controlled over 4,000 airplanes, helicopter, fixed wing, with 80,000 troops. The Marine 1st and 3rd Division, the Republic of Korea Marines, and a few elements of the AmeriCal Division Army that was in that area. And it was a real exciting job, and hearing from the Lord saved a lot of lives. I could tell you at least 3 incidences that saved 50 to 60 lives just through prayer. "God, we've done all we can do, now what?" And the Lord told us. And so it is beneficial to be able to hear from the Lord. And General Zeiss, who had been in command of the AmeriCal Division, had been relieved of his command because, well, he got pretty well beat up and lost some people. And Ted Kennedy got up and was a real scathing thing. And General Zeiss told one of the reporters, says, "Well, at least you can tell Senator Kennedy that I brought all my casualties out. He drowned his at Chappaquiddick. And so he was relieved of his command and he's coming back to the States. I had to reprimand a young captain because one of the senators, it wasn't too important, it was someone about like Ted Kennedy, and when they got through hauling him around so he could say he'd been to Vietnam and all of that, and he says, what message would you have me take back? And the captain says, tell the rest of those damn politicians stay at home, because while I'm hauling your butts around, people are dying. And I said, you don't talk to people like that. You're telling the truth, but don't talk like that. We were at the bar and saying goodbye to General Zeiss before we went in to eat. And here's a United Press representative, UPI, United Press International. Heck of a nice guy. I'd been with him before. But he was really loaded this night. And I said, why is it that you don't really tell of all the wonderful things we're doing out here? Before the war started, there were only 400,000 full-time students in South Vietnam. There were 4 million now. We had built roads and hydroelectric plants, 3 international airports types that I showed you how to win all the battles and still lose the war, 2 ports that we built, all that sort of thing. Why don't you tell the wonderful things that we're doing? And he says, Colonel, he says, I've been out here 3 years. And he says, I get a salary, but I also get paid by column inch printed. And he says, and I can't repeat what he said, but he says, they just will not print good news. Let me show you something. So he reached inside his blouse and pulled out a telegram and handed it to it. Newsweek was offering $7,000 to anyone who could uncover another My Lai, remember, where Lieutenant Kelly killed 102 people that were shooting at him. If you know about it, General Pierce, who knew me because I was on contingency planning with General Pierce and General Sutherland and General Wilson, no relation. All those were 3-star generals. And General Pierce was appointed by the president to investigate the My Lai. And here's what happened at My Lai. My Lai was a small village that was pretty much we call them Viet Cong because they were against the regime that was in power at the time. The nation was pretty well split as religion was a part of it. And so it wasn't a critical village, but they were still shooting at our troops in the area. So they removed them twice. Now they took the whole cotton picking bunch of them, and it's out in an area where they have a hard time making a living. And moved them into the Mekong Delta and gave them a house and 5 acres of land. Now, that's pretty rich in Vietnam. And each time they went back. Now, the Vietnamese government 3 times requested just blow the village away. All you do is take a 175 howitzer and blast it a few times, it's gone. Nobody knows the difference. Or send a bomber up there and liquidate the whole bunch. You know, in Iraq, and they wonder why they don't love us over there. On the average, every family or 1/3 of the families in Iraq has lost a member of that family to friendly fire. Well, if you're killed by it, it ain't that friendly. And then they wonder why they don't love us. And in the 4th day of May, under the current president, we dropped 900 bombs in Afghanistan and killed over 200 people, citizens, civilians. And we expect them to support us? Come on home. And that would solve a whole lot of problems. Finally, Lieutenant Kelly, who was a platoon commander, that was his territory, his area of responsibility. And so in his patrols through there, they were still shooting at him. and wounding his soldiers. So finally, they just lost control and they just wiped the bunch out. But of course, it was done where the news could get in there and all of that. But the communists killed over 5,000 people one morning in Wei, and then buried another 300 of them alive with their hands tied behind them. They didn't print that. And I could give you many examples. In fact, there was one as Bahrain, where they killed 300 innocent civilians one morning about 3 o'clock, and I called over to Da Nang to the press headquarters, and this fella, Rogers, the UPI, answered the phone, and I says, there's been some action down north, and I'll have a helicopter on your landing zone within 45 minutes of anybody that wants to go see what's happening. He says, you talking about Bahrain? I said, yes. He said, nobody's available. They wouldn't even go have a look. But so here's the news media for you. And it's a problem. And this is written by the John Swinton, chief of staff of the New York Times. He was considered the dean of the profession by all of his peers. And when he was asked to give a toast at the New York Press Club in 1953, and this is his toast. There is no such thing at this date of in world history and in America as an independent press, and you damn well know it. There is not one of you who dares to write your honest opinion, and if you did, you would know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper. I am connected with others of you, and you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write an honest report would be out on the streets looking for a job before sunbreak. If I allowed my honest opinions to ever appear in one issue of my paper, the New York Times, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The best of the journalist is, the best of the journalist is to destroy truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, money, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it, and what folly it is in this toast of an independent press. As we are the tools and the vassals of the rich men behind the scenes pulling the strings, we are jumping and jerking. They're pulling the strings, and we dance to their tune. Our talents our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Well, the elites, the Bilderberger Group, the Council of Foreign Relations, the British Royal Institute of Foreign Affairs, Trilateral Commission, etc., they control the media, and the media creates the culture, and the culture elects the politicians. See the closed cycle? How the news, as I said, it says that how the news is reported is very important. However, the news that is not reported is far more important. And if you want to see a movie that presented that as many years ago, see the movie The Network. Remember that? The people were hanging their heads out the window shouting, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And so they set the guy up that was bucking it, sort of like Glenn Beck, and they killed him on camera and blamed it on the communists. I'm sorry? Yeah, they do. And Glenn Beck had on a bullet jacket when he was in that the 28th. And, of course, that is, I repeated before, and you see network to expose, and I've appeared twice before the Ohio House on the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. And one of the protesters was saying, imagine a world without guns. And I went up and handed him a piece of paper and I said, if you want to see a world without guns, go see the movie Braveheart. They didn't have guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Makes me want to bite nails again. Well, some people are waking up, thank God. The Tea Party group, I've spoken to 7 Tea Party groups and given a much briefer to them because most of them, I just want to give them understanding. Now, there was a pastor, Joe Wright, and was asked to give the prayer in the Kansas Senate. And here was his prayer. And this was repeated over quite a few of the Christian networks. Paul Harvey quoted it. And they said he got more requests for the prayer than anything he'd ever had. And here's the prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and your guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. But that's exactly what we've done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word, the Bible, and it's called pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it a lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn children and we've called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justified. We have neglected to discipline our children and call it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and have called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored value of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. So search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent to direct us to the center of your perfect will. I ask this all in your name, the living Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it said quite a few got up and walked out during the prayer. Do you remember Judge Roy Moore?
Yes.
Well, here's a most beautiful prayer. By the way, he's running for governor, and I've contributed to his campaign. And this is the prayer that he had. America the beautiful, or so it used to be, land of the pilgrims' pride, I'm glad they'll never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is on sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge your lust when God has said to abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teaching of God's love and the need to always pray. So many worldly pastors tell their lies about the rock, saying God is going broke, so they have to fleece the flock. We kept God out of our temples, how callous have we grown, when earth is but a footstool and heaven is his throne. We have voted in a government that is rotten to the core. That was the time of Clinton. Appointed godless judges who throw reason out the door, too soft to place a killer in his well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby as it leaves the mother's womb. You think that God's not angry that our land is a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God, for whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, and seek his holy face, and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven, and will forgive our sins. He'll heal our sickly land, and those who live within. But America the Beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God will lift his hand from thee. Very true. It was something, I forget what it was, but you know, at 90 you do have memories of life. Draw a blank. But the whole thing is that there are so many simple solutions to the problems, and they are very simple. Now, here are a few that I have shared. They say we have to have taxes. No, we don't. It's very simple. There are many schemes, but they won't do it because they would. The whole thing, anytime the government, federal government, does anything, it's to gain more control. So they're going to keep the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue, the Infernal Revenue. But we don't need it. There are many. Well, they were talking about going to the value added tax, the VAT. That is sick. Because, boy, that takes a real bureaucracy, because you have to collect the tax every time a product changes from one to the other. So they would have absolute control. Don't ever go for that garbage. Then there's another one that would, a consumption tax. Now that one's a whole lot better, because there aren't any taxes collected as the product is manufactured or produced in the game of form, but then the tax is collected just like a big sales tax, with food being exempt, and probably one family residence would be exempt, but everything else. Now that would really spread the wealth around, because the wealthy spend a lot more money, so they would, as their consumption goes, it grows. But mine, mine would go like this. You know that we'd add up what the federal government needed for its budget, and then divide it by the number of the representatives. I think there are, 435 representatives in the House of Representatives. Divide it into 435 units, and then divide it by the number of representatives from each state. Now, that would really solve a lot of problems. That would stop all this pork box stuff, because if you're a congressman, he's going to be accountable, and if he doesn't, you send it back. That would completely get rid of the IRS, completely get rid of the federal government meddling into your money business. Billions of dollars are spent every year making out income tax returns and challenges and lawyers and all of that sort of thing, and it would just be perfect. But I don't know that anyone's ever suggested that program. And another one would be that every time the Congress passed a bill like the health care, they would have to live under the same rules that you and I do. That would stop a lot of this stuff too, but they're separate. Did you know that the average federal employee, the average, makes $10,000 to $20,000 more a year than the same job on the outside of the federal government? If you got somebody graduated from college, tell them to get into the government. There are more federal government employees right now than there are manufacturing jobs in the whole United States. And it's going to get bigger. It'll keep going on and on and on. Well, the Federal Reserve, and then we'll quit. We can't stop without it, because this is, the money really is tearing us up. And it is. Now, who owns the Federal Reserve? It isn't federal. It has no reserve. Here are the people that own the Federal Reserve, and I think you'll be surprised who owns it. The Rothschilds, the Bank of London and Berlin. The Lazarus Brothers of Paris. Israel Schiff of Italy. Kuhn Loeb Company of Germany. Warburg in Hamburg, Amsterdam, and the Netherlands. Now, those are foreign countries, and they control our money. The Lehman Brothers of New York, Goldman Sachs, there's that Goldman Sachs again, and the Rockefeller, Chase Manhattan, all that sort of thing. And it's very interesting, Abraham Lincoln again. He says, the privilege of creating and issuing money is not only the supreme prerogative of government, but it is the government's greatest creative opportunity. By the adoption of the three principles, the taxpayers will be saved immense sums of interest. Now, why would he say that? Well, the Rothschilds, the London Bank of Rothschilds, insisted on him borrowing the money to fight the Civil War, and he refused because he had read the Constitution, and the Constitution says, Congress reserves the right to coin and coin money and establish the value thereof. Did you get coin money? Not paper money. Coin money. And establish that. My joke would be if Ron Paul can ever audit the Federal Reserve, and it's serious. If Congress has the right, and it does, it's in the Constitution to coin money and establish the money, value thereof. Find out how much we owe the Federal Reserve. We pay $1 billion a day interest to the Federal Reserve. $1 billion a day. So you'd find out how much we owe them, and then Congress would make a beautiful coin, I think one about that size, and coat it with gold, and by act of Congress say that equals the amount that we owe the Federal Reserve, and go pay them for them, and they're out of business. You know, it's that old thing, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And then it got him his due reward. He got shot. By the way, Lincoln knew that the Congress, so he printed the Lincoln greenbacks. That's the reason our money's green today instead of a red-brown, which would have been the Rothschilds. And the Rothschilds gave money to both sides. That's what I recommend we do in the Middle East. Let them kill each other. Then we have, coming up to date, listen to this, John Kennedy, just about 10 days before he was assassinated. He was at Columbia University. By the way, Columbia University is where they train most of these people. Zbigniew Brzezinski, Alexander Haig, Henry Kissinger, all those people, and of course the current president. They say he came from Columbia, but he's not in the yearbook, and they don't have any record of him being there, but it's another problem. This is Kennedy. The high offices of the president has been used to foment a plot to destroy the Americans' freedom, and before I leave office, I must inform the citizens of this great nation of this plight. That was 10 days later, he was dead. And why he was dead? He had executive order number 11,110, and it was very simple. It would shut the Federal Reserve completely out, and the money would be issued as United States notes. And they say it never happened, but it did. He issued $4 or $5 billion worth of them just to see how long it would take to take the reserve notes out and get the United States notes in. And he determined that it could be done within a week, but he was going to close the banks on a Friday and open them 10 days later with U.S. notes. Now, they say that never happened, but I have two $2 bills and two $5 bills that were issued in 1962, and they are United States notes. Now, they're not worth anything, but we don't pay interest on them. So it's the same deal, and so that got him killed. So I hate to say it, but I pray for Obama. I hope no one kills him. That would be awful. But they would like to see riots, and they're trying to create riots. because then they declare martial law. And that's the end of the United States. Yeah. And it what's happening now in Arizona could be up to that. By the way, the good news is that there are 33 states who are going to pass laws just about like Arizona. So pretty soon, and there are also some of the states that if the United States, the federal government, they've already got it on the books, that if they ever declare martial law, they will secede from the nation. They will no longer be a part of it. Being a Texan, Texas is a little unique. Texas has to renew their statehood every 2 years or they just cease. They don't have to secede, they just drop out. And back before Texas became a state, they wanted to know what this meant, that the federal government would provide... the federal government really is very limited. That it says that they would provide international representation, State Department, and a combined defense, that's a War Department or a Defense Department, and money, and there was one other thing, interstate commerce. That's all. Where in the heck did we get this Department of Education? We got it from Carter. They started out calling it the Department of Public Education, but they realized the acronym would be D-O-P-E, dope. So they... But the communists have to brainwash your kids, and they're doing it. So I shouldn't digress like that, but I forget it. But Texas, they wanted to, before they became a part of the Union, they wanted to know what this meant about a common defense, that they would provide a defense. And the Supreme Court and the House agreed that it meant that they would repel invasions and suppress insurrections. Man, if the country isn't being invaded when 12 to 20 million have come across our borders, I don't know what an invasion is. And when a few years, not too long ago, when they appeared in the streets, a half a million of them carrying Mexico signs, if that isn't an insurrection, what it is. But the federal government's not going to do anything about it. As I told you, we're going to become the North American Union. They'll try again. They'll keep trying. And I think it's just destined to come to pass. In fact, Calderon, the president of Mexico, has already accepted it. Remember his speech not more than a month ago? He says, it's just a simple northern migration. He's already considered it done, and they're just migrating up. We've already... Oh, well. And if anybody is interested, you can get copies of who the conspirators are. Here's a list of them. The news media, who they are. Same people. They're always controlled. Kissinger is the coordinator. As Hillary the other day, Hillary Clinton said it was so nice now that the Council of Foreign Relations, she didn't say that, but they moved down and they have their main office now between the White House and the State Department. She says, anytime I have a problem, I can just call up Henry Kissinger, he's just down the street, and find out. Now, she actually said that. I know what it was I wanted to tell you. In 1990, right here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, I was going through this, and I simply said, you better keep your eye on your current governor, because he attended the Bilderberger meeting this year in 1990. So that's a giveaway that he may be the next president. He has, and Stan Jackson and his wife Sharon, they came up afterward and they said, Colonel Wilson, we'd like to share this with you. We were high school classmates with Bill Clinton. And we were having a class reunion at the governor's mansion. And we were talking to the governor, and someone asked him and said, well, what is your future plans, governor? He said, in 1992, I'll be the president of the United States. It's a done deal. Well, it wasn't a done deal. They had to run Ross Perot in to split the vote, Ross Perot being a part of the conspiracy. And to pay him off, his partner in crime, Ross Perot's law partner and his business manager, Ginsburg. Does that sound familiar? His wife is now on the Supreme Court, and she's recommending that we institute the New World Order and have a common law throughout the whole thing. She was the Southwest chairman of the American Civil Liberties Union. I prefer to call it the Anti-Christian Litigation Union. Did you know that their founding fathers, out of the five founding fathers, four of them were hardcore communists, and they actually said, we will use liberty to destroy liberty? There's another simple solution. Did you know that we only represent about 5% of the world's population and have 75% of the world's lawyers? Well, how do the rest of the world settle it? Well, if you bring a suit against somebody in the United Kingdom and you lose, you pay whoever you sued, you pay all of his legal fees and all the court fees. Well, that stops a lot of that, I won't call it what it is, manure. But anyway. And if you're interested to see the current president's real birth certificate with his footprint on the bottom of it, straight from Kenya. And if you want to see the fake ones that they put up here, it's got pictures of those. It's readily available. The one that they said they wanted to present, it's not a birth certificate, it's a live birth thing, and it doesn't have his name on it, and it's printed by an ink printer. They didn't have ink printers back in when he was born in 1961. But the day he was born, the day afterward, they have the birth of a woman, and it's on a normal birth certificate. It's a difference. Well, why does he think the way he thinks? Well, of course, his father was a communist and was pretty well exiled from, well, we won't get into that. But anyway, from his mother, when she got back to Hawaii, she married an Indonesian and went to Indonesia, and he was about 7 or 8 years old at that time, and he was trained in the Indonesian schools. To attend an Indonesian school, you have to be a Muslim, and you have to be a naturalized citizen of Indonesia. It's been proven that he's traveled on as many as 4 passports, 4 different national passports. So, yeah, and then he came back, I don't know exactly when, back to Hawaii. But he came to the United States to Occidental College, and at Occidental College he attended on a foreign student scholarship, and then on and on. By the way, the people in Germany knew that he was going to be our president 2 years before he was elected. So that's the reason when he went over there, he was greeted by a crowd of over 200,000. They've already accepted him as the new world president, or whoever you would call it on the whole thing. Well, if you're interested in these things, you can come look at them. But thank you so much for your patience, and hang in there. You're in for a real ride. I'd like to recommend one thing to you. If you have any wealth, get it into silver coins. Don't follow the crowd. Stay away from gold. Stay away from gold. Never follow the crowd. And besides, there isn't any gold in Fort Knox. The Federal Reserve bought it with Federal Reserve notes a long time ago, and it's stored in an underground storage in Culpeper, Virginia. God bless you and keep you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.